Ladies and gentlemen, we talk so much about Lenny Kravitz's life in part one of Questlove Supreme interview with Lenny Kravitz. So check that episode out. And now here's part two of our exclusive two-part interview with the great Lenny Kravitz on Questlove Supreme. So when you got to Mama Said.
Mama Said was a complete reaction to what was going on.
Right. That's one of
between,
my favorite records.
Between Lisa and myself. Mine too. It might be, of the old ones, it might be my favorite.
Is it hard for you to, okay, so I'm saying, is that the type of album where you're, like you're personal? Done with it and that's your.
Well, I'm done with every album when it's done. I'm done with everything once it's finished. I'm on to the next. But I love that record and I don't regret a thing, you know.
But I mean, the pressure of you still singing, like, it ain't over till it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in your mind, is she still the target of that song? Like, can you...
I mean, it's her song, you know, and it's actually really interesting because, I mean, we're best friends. We're back to brother and sister.
Well, I know. She's at your show.
We're best friends. I'm with her kids, her husband. We're all together. Right. Everybody's... It's one big family, which is the way it should be. Mm-hmm. But she came to a... She hadn't been to a show in a million years since we were together. She had not been to a show. And she came to a show on the Strut Tour. And she was with Zoe, and it's the first time Zoe's
in
seen
York,
her
too.
Mom at my show.
Right.
Wow. So here's all of us.
Wow.
And I'm singing these songs from Mama Said that are...
About your mama.
Wait, time out. Wasn't I at the show, too?
I don't know.
In New York.
Yes. Were you there?
At the Webster Hall.
Yes.
When we were doing, I was there for that.
When we were doing those clubs.
Wait, that's the first time she saw you in the second?
Yes.
So
Modern Family.
Yo, she's so touched. Been there. Show and shit.
Man.
Yeah,
and
I want to know where her reaction
no,
was.
No, but
still.
I looked up. I didn't know, but I looked up and I saw
I was watching her
and Zoe
the whole
holding
time.
Hands and both of them with this look on their face. And it was beautiful because it was a first for all of us. Mm. Right. And then I guess toward the end of the show, they actually ran out, went to the deli, went to the shop with her, and got flowers and were throwing flowers at the stage.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a thing, man. It was
that
a thing.
Was dope.
It was beautiful.
I had hope for a little bit because I was, you know, watching her. Like, I was trying not to freak her out, but I kept watching her, like, watching. I was like, yo, she's really engaged in this. And, you know, you remember that moment where, like, Kadeem interrupted the.
Oh,
like,
baby, please.
Right. Yeah,
like, are you on a different world now?
I was so.
Yeah. Kadeem and Whitley?
I was so. Yes.
Dwayne Wayne and Whitley?
Listen. Yeah.
You see what we're dealing with here?
That's Lenny's world, too.
I was on that set.
We had Cree here already, so.
No, it was really cool to see how amicable.
So, no, the record is a beautiful memory, and I have no problem with those songs or singing them or
can I ask what was her reaction to first hearing it
then?
Yeah,
I don't know. At that point, it wasn't
you guys
wasn't rolling like that,
so it wasn't like you finished it.
It was
so wait, in
no, I gotta yeah. say, yeah. I gotta say, okay, more than anything in this world, I probably
that,
put
dude,
that shit on
that
more
was that one. Was a state of depression. There was a 2-week period where I didn't sleep, where I had a guy living with me, like just watching me. Like I was ready to jump out the window. It was bad. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating.
And
I was
you
like,
could hear that shit in your voice,
and
man.
And that song was cut on a, what was it called? Porta Studio?
Yeah, a little 4-track.
It was cut on a Porta Studio on a cassette, the track.
Take notice.
And then I went to Waterfront, and then I did the overdubs. But it started on a cassette in this room, in this loft. That I was gone. That song was the deepest period of that record for me emotionally.
More than anything in this world. I'm glad you said that because I've been trying to figure out
it was dark.
The drum sound for that.
Let's just buy a 4-track already or dig one out of your 18 storage units.
I think it's the Alessi's, the little gray Alessi's,
mm-hmm.
little flat one, the curved up drum machine with the tape slap.
And also, the reason why I knew that it was real because you sang so dry on it.
Oh, it was just like some 57 lying around the apartment. Like,
yeah,
just
you sang so dry. No, but even your vocal, like, you didn't put, you didn't do any inflections on it.
Right.
And I was just like, yo. And I was cheering for you listening to this shit. Like, I was cheering for you.
I feel
I was, because when I heard it.
You're going to get it back, man.
You know one of those songs? You know one of those songs you just got to rewind over and over and over? Yeah. And I had the cassette. So, you know, I'd get the end.
Yeah.
And then, like, I wore that tape out. And I was just like, all right, Lenny, I believe in this performance. You got to, I felt if you did a video. No, actually, you probably went to jail and got a restraining order. I was like, you got to say anything, the song. You got to set up on her lawn and record a video.
Right. That's called street harassment. Yeah. Yeah.
But let me ask this, because...
That's specific.
And although it...
As wait, how do you know?
You really
how do
you know? Why is that street harassment?
Yeah, just well, according
sidewalk,
to the University of
that's
Twitter.
A thing.
Front lawn harassment?
That's a thing?
No, that's a real thing.
Oh, okay.
Street, but let me ask this, because you were straight honest, and it's great as a fan, like... People appreciate that. You had the first album that was about falling in love, and then you had the other album that was, you know, about the opposite. Mm. And I guess as an artist, when you're sitting in there writing this album, you're going through all your emotions, you're like, I gotta get this shit out, But then you put the album out and you have to do promo and press around it, right? So
I gotta relive this shit.
Yeah. Like, how do you do that? And at what point, and even now, like I'm so grateful that you are open and you're still not tired of talking about this chapter, because it's important to your
music.
No,
I love it. On the tour now, I'm singing songs that I'm doing Stand By My Woman and different songs from that album. I mean,
but how do you do that? Like, how do you do the promo off of these albums? Two different.
Well, then I'm sure it was a different thing, but now they're just these like beautiful memories, you know, and parts of my life that, you know, they're still there.
So, how did you? Were you disappointed that Black Radio didn't really pick up on It Ain't Over Till It's Over? Because I felt.
I don't know.
Once MTV started playing the shit out of it.
On the pop charts, it went so the pop would have been straight pop. It was number two.
Yeah.
With a bullet, because what's his name? Had that Robin Hood song that would not. They had that movie money.
I sat 3 weeks
with that number two with a bullet. 3 weeks. And when they put that last bit of money on that thing, my ass went number three. So it went number two. I don't know what it did on the R&B charts. I don't even
remember.
But
did they even promote it? Not to say that Black Radio couldn't have just picked it up, but did they even sell it, promote it to them?
Black Radio always used to kind of be like, yeah, that's nice. You know, like, I'd go do promotion.
But did they send you to Jack the Rapper or...
Jack the Rapper? Nigga, what?
Fucking Prince did Jack the Rapper. Prince did Jack the Rapper. R&B people did Jack the... Wait,
this
why am
Lenny
I doing
Price.
That?
Now. What
y'all
it?
Clapping. Kevin Hart.
So much clapping.
Why am I clapping like
I do that
Kevin
to
Hart?
My kids.
No B-R-E, no Gavin, no Jack the Rapper. I'm guessing.
B-R-E sounds familiar.
Now, that was Black Radio Expo. Lenny,
that sounds
you wasn't.
Familiar.
You did
Soul Train at least.
It was like I would go... I did do Soul Train.
Yeah. These are the right cuts,
so
too.
Because we loved it.
But it was always like, all right, great. We'll do an interview. We'll joke around. We'll have a good... And then it's like, yeah, we'll play it twice.
That's how they do.
That's your ass.
That's,
you know?
Yeah, that's
so
how I got fired.
What I was saying, man,
it went number 10 on R&B chart.
Okay. Well, that's not bad.
Not bad. Oh, shit.
It's not bad.
Okay.
Because we knew he existed. We knew we loved the music. We just didn't know we couldn't...
It was just not what they wanted.
Right.
I've never... I guess beside that... I don't know. I don't even remember. But Black Radio, you know, just...
You're big on Russian Jew radio. Yeah. I can tell
you. What's the station, Steve?
WUSSR.
So Double Jew.
With Gonna Go My Way.
Right.
And things totally breaking this. First of all, how did it happen? How did you finally break the ceiling into...
Man, that track... First of all, who knew that? That track had nothing to do with hit records, radio.
It's adrenaline.
It did. But
and post-teen spirit, adrenaline rock was still a thing. It just felt, like a locomotive train.
I didn't see it. Okay? I didn't see it coming.
That riff was too
We cut the track. We cut that track in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Hey, Alpha State.
Because another session was coming in. I was still on that tip. Even on my third album, the next session was coming in. I couldn't even block that bitch out.
But dog, see, right? there's something Greg Phil and Gaines taught us called the Alpha State, where when you don't overthink shit and you just do it. And don't, you know,
and we're like this, and the next client's in the lounge, and it's like it's getting that thing where we're kind of 5 minutes over their thing, and they get right, attitude, and that, we're in there,
that puts your subconscious in a state of perfection that you're not even aware of.
You don't think.
And then I had the track. I went home, wrote the lyric and the melody because it was just a jam. I had no idea of melody. Wrote these words, sang it, and was like. Okay, record comes out. They decide it's going to be a single. They're working it and working it and working it, trying to make it happen. Weeks going by. Nothing's happening. I think a big part of the success of that song was the visual. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I met...
Cindy.
Well, no, well, that.
Mark
well, Cindy, Yeah, Cindy became... Came out of it, but Mark Romanek, the director. Mm-hmm. I met him through Jeff Aroff, who signed me, and we took a walk on the East River and talked about, let's make a video and this space and this light and then that came. Then MTV didn't want to play it. They're pushing, they're pushing.
What?
Not at first.
Wow, what they say? What was the reason?
You gotta like work and get it on the thing and then the slow thing and then.
That video. Rotation.
But you were already pretty established.
Yeah,
by that
but
point.
You know, it was it didn't happen right away. They worked that record for.
Interesting. So they had to twist some arms to make it.
But when it was about to go away, it was about to be done, and something happened, and it just went kablam, and that was it. You know, that was it.
Oh shit!
It was a moment. It was a moment. It almost didn't happen.
Damn.
Yeah. That video was HD.
Get out the gate.
Before it was HD.
I know.
Yeah. Right? It's like, dang, look, you can see his locks all up in there.
Wait, wait a minute.
I want to go to that show.
I forgot. You produced one of my favorite records. Vanessa Paradis' debut joint.
Okay, see, you're so smart. You always get it back
well, technically,
to
technically, we...
No. Okay.
Take Vanessa, a compliment.
I was producing Vanessa's album at the same time, and it was Vanessa waiting to come do her session. So it was her session, but I had to still work, right?
Right, right.
But she was ready to then come in. It was her time. And it was like, well, she can't hear this.
What?
She can't hear this. Well, it was kind of like we were cutting tracks. I was cutting tracks for her.
Are you using her studio time?
No, but that obviously would have been too hard for her.
Right.
But when we first were cutting it, I didn't know who it was for. I was doing my stuff and I was doing Vanessa's at the same time.
Right.
So it was just like, let's just hurry up, let's
keep
get out of here
us.
And just take this one home. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Slip. So that record was made at the same time.
Was okay. This in Hoboken also?
All of that was in Hoboken, yeah. The Vanessa Paradis record and Are You Gonna Come Out. I did everything up till Circus in there. Okay. Circus was part New York, part Bahamas.
And wait, where in Hoboken?
Waterfront. It was a building studios. Called the Delacuilla Building. It's 15th and Washington at the end. It was this big, ugly brown and yellow window, spray painted sweatshop factory. People in there making purses and sweaters and shit.
Does it still exist?
Now it's a fabulous condominium.
Of course. Everything in Hoboken is a fabulous condominium.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
But it was waterfront, yeah.
Wait, so the T building? Is it now the T building?
I don't know what it's called. Okay. It's at the end, 15th and Washington. It's at the end, that big building.
Yes, yeah, T building.
And there used to be like a smokestack. I don't know if that's gone or still there, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. We skipped over.
What?
Justify My Love.
Ooh.
Shit. Oh, man, please. Yeah, good catch. Well, never change.
Okay, so my number one question about it.
Yes.
Why did they not clear security of the first world? Because I asked Chuck, like, do you feel a certain way? He was like, no, you know, what the fuck? I don't care.
We had a thing for a minute. They were like, well, we're going to come after you. And I was like, well, you sampled it from this and that. And then, I don't know. But
it was their version of Funky Drummer, right?
I forgot the original sample. It's not
Funky
Drummer.
Trying to do Funky Drummer on a drum machine.
It was, but once I got the stems,
you did the stem, yeah.
I recognized what Jordan came from because there's a cowbell in there. Trouble Funk.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, it's a slow down.
Yeah, yeah. Trouble Funk. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
So at the time, like, well.
I was in the studio doing this thing, and I had this guy with me who I was going to play the drums or do something, but they didn't have the mics together. So I was like, I just need a beat that's kind of like this. And this guy gave me the beat. I didn't know what, I didn't even know what it was.
Okay.
He's just like, here, use this. And I was like, oh shit, that's bad. I mean, that's great. Right. And then I put the strings and the stuff. And then, I don't know if you know, when Madonna's talking, I'm in the back singing this melody in falsetto. That was meant to be that was the scratch track of the melody of the song. But then afterwards, you know, Ingrid wrote the words.
Right.
To the song.
Okay.
And she started writing this poetry thing to it. So I was like, okay, well, that's dope. So we just left my melody in the back as this sort of distant voice.
Do you know the story of the master reel or the master reel of Justify My Love?
I think
this happened after the fact. Okay, so when we're working on our album, whoever the assistant engineer was
for Justify?
For Justify My Love. I guess it was once the final mix was done or whatever, and they're like,
because we cut Madonna, it wasn't at Waterfront. She wasn't going to come out to Jersey. So it was some place in the city.
He did it in New York.
So it's a studio that I don't even remember there, which one it was.
Right. So he's there during the time when you're cutting vocals with Madonna. And so something happens, and he says he got fired from, he said it wasn't you or you know, but the studio fired him.
Because?
He accidentally erased or chipped a bad edit. Okay. Or like accidentally erased part of her.
Vocal?
Vocal, right. At the end of the process.
Okay.
By accident. And he got fired. But you weren't aware of that. So this story's going completely nowhere.
I thought he was going to say he stole it, master. Yeah,
No.
Okay.
But I have a follow-up question.
Yes. Yes.
Have you ever heard Albie Shore's version of Justify Your Love?
Albie Shore has
Nick,
a version?
What?
No. Yeah. Nah, Hold on. I feel like I should remember that.
Why do you know this?
Was this on the Honey, I'm Home
album? Albie Shore has a version?
Honey, I'm Home album?
It was a B-side to, you remember on his second album he did the duet with Diana Ross?
No Matter No.
Yes.
That's the one. It's the B-side of that, and it has Casey Haley singing on it, too.
Wow.
And
wait, what?
Wow, I did not know
that. It's called Al Will Justify Your Love.
Yep. Wait, Nick. Is this
it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Shit.
Al Will.
No, just... Al Allel. A-L apostrophe L.
Allel?
Oh, that's dope.
Spell like, this.
A-L apostrophe L as in Al Will.
Yeah.
Okay. Allel.
Allel Justify
Your Love. How do you know this, Steve?
Caricature.
You got you got that 12 inch, I'm sure.
Wait,
no.
Bill, how do you know this?
I'm a big Albie Shore fan.
You're
Did you
really
just say that?
Yeah. No. Wait, while we're at it, what? No, me and Bill, you should have never told me R&B dudes.
Like I mean, I missed that one. I didn't know.
I'm afraid to listen to this.
It was a B-side. I didn't expect many people to see it. You're catching.
I'm afraid.
Just hit play. Hit play.
Alice Just Fire Your Love right here on Questlove Supreme with Lenny Kravitz.
And then after that, can we play the Young Black Teenagers version to My Donna?
What?
Wow.
Home at the beach.
I'm not saying this is good or anything, but...
Whoa. Writers, Albie Shore, Ingrid Chavez, Lenny Kravitz, and Chubb Rock?
Yes. Chubb Rock is on this. I forgot.
Oh, my God.
Devontae Swing, Jodeci.
Oh, he's using the sample, too.
So many
it's
checks,
just
Lenny.
It's version of the song, basically.
He
so
didn't
yeah.
even know. That's beautiful.
That's JoJo singing Just By My Love?
That sounds like it should be in the... In the sex scene in Boomerang.
Yeah, with that wind whistle.
Yes,
the Darby wind whistle.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, that, yeah.
Fear, master of the
That was on every record during that time.
Pan flute. You want to kiss in Paris?
Yeah, that's
ooh, yeah. That's not where we came from. This sounds like Boomerang. This sounds like Strong Zang.
Yeah, right.
But the commercial where he let old boy do his own cut.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey Holder.
Oh, yeah, Jeffrey Holder.
Don't let Jeffrey Holder let him do it.
You the steel man. Vagina.
Yes, steel.
After Biff.
Yeah, so that's the thing that happens. So
I just never changed, Boss Bill. My brother.
I didn't know. I didn't know. I'll be sure to
do that. Al just. So you weren't seeing no checks from this?
No, he got a check. Cause
it was a B-side, so yeah, it was only on sale for like, what, 2 weeks? So.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. We don't like New Wave. Oh, sorry.
And that was a Quest Love Supreme rabbit hole.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry
all right,
about that.
All right, that was... I will justify. Because the thing was, I would expect him to do that like 10 years down the line.
Nah, he did
that. Second album. Second album, bro.
Private Times in the Hole now.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
On the B side of that, Diana Ross duet.
Is there any other Lenny Kravitz treats that we don't know about?
Yeah, I got one. I'm over here.
You're going. Yes, Steve.
The Mick Jagger song, the Bill Withers song you did with Mick Jagger.
Mm.
You produced an entire Mick Jagger record, did you?
I'm very happy that I did that, but I had nothing. Rick Rubin produced it.
Rick Rubin did it. Oh, okay.
And I love Rick, and Rick's one of my dearest friends.
Did you not produce but Mick Jagger?
I produced a song called God Gave Me Everything on Mick's next solo record.
Okay.
On Goddess in the Doorway.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
I was talking about... Use Me.
Yeah. It was all right.
Wait, Mick Jagger did Use Me?
With Lenny, yeah.
Yeah. It was a...
I'm trying to imagine
me being a Bill Withers man, and I I'm happy I did it, and it's cool, but it's all right.
Yeah, it sounds really good, but, you know.
Okay. I have a general rule about, like, working with your idols or whatever, like, people that you admire, because it could go one way or the other, where if they're too famous, you can't tell them nothing.
But I had nothing to do with it. Like, it wasn't my production. It wasn't my thing. It wasn't.
Oh.
It just, you know.
Did you wish you had control of that song? I mean, did they take you out of your old? Okay. That's where I'm trying to go with it. Was it too clean?
Come on, man.
Yeah, it was. But it was.
Give me that look like, Nick. Like, come on, no like, good Nick, work.
It was.
No good. Dude, we're talking about Bill Withers.
Yeah,
but then again, it was no matter good, what, whatever, it's fine. It was Bruce. Different.
Yeah.
And that's cool. You know, it was different.
Okay.
But just in looking back.
I know you're not trying roll anybody over the bus, but I get
you're on a Mick Jagger album.
You are? Oh, shit, I am. Oh, you just snitched on me.
Which one?
I forgot.
I like it when you remind me.
Which one is
it?
It's a couple years ago.
Only a couple years ago?
I forgot.
Time to look it up.
He only got four solo records. I'm on two.
No,
of them,
but so. He did a project with which Marley of the moment? It's like it's
probably Damien.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably Damien.
It's like Damien Marley, Josh Stone.
Yes.
Hill.
Yes. They had a band.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Dave Stewart.
Yeah.
Dave Stewart. Yeah.
That's the name of the band?
It was on the
that's
the thing was.
It was the Alfie soundtrack, right?
They did a whole album, and like the thing was, he called me directly, and I thought it was Jimmy trying to fuck with me. You know, Quest Love, you know, it's Mick Jagger and everything. And I was like, all right. Just like everyone that has that type of story where it takes you 15 minutes to believe it, I hung up, I called Jimmy, I'm like, oh, wait. And Jimmy's like, hey, no, it wasn't me. And finally, I realized that it was Mick Jagger calling me. And,
But I love Mick. I mean, Mick Jagger, man.
You must say no to a lot, though, right? Because you don't, it's not like you're the, you always say yes to a lot of things. Like, this was Lenny produced this, Lenny wrote this for me, did it, like.
I say yes to you.
Hey!
Did you say that to get me to shut up? Because it's going to work.
Without a doubt.
Lenny Kravitz is here.
I know Chris is trying to push a button over there.
I'm like,
gold failure.
Your reaction's late. Come on, man.
I know. I'm sorry.
Let's back up. Hold on. I say yes to you.
Don't. See, what you don't know is I have a glandular problem, and
I start sweating
you said, Fonte, when I get
you
nervous.
You said I have a glandular problem.
Yeah. I do.
And then suddenly it just went to this.
It's over.
You killed your momentum.
I thought you said the glandular problem.
I have a glandular. My laptop just got hot on my lap.
I have a glandular. It just went from a pickle to linguine.
Okay, we're trying to push this timeline here to get him out. Yeah,
Oh, but can I ask him, is he going to do something else with Cree? Because I would talk to her today. And I was
you
just
did?
Wondering. Yeah, she told me to tell you she loves you.
She's probably
you still talk to guests after they've been on the show?
I talked to Cree.
How good is that record? Voiceover stuff.
That was a moment.
Yeah.
That's when I was making five.
I know.
Same time. Both those records were being made at the same time in the Bahamas.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, she's... And she got robbed.
Yeah, she did.
She got robbed.
She did.
They didn't know what to do with her.
She was just early, I think.
She was early.
She was super early.
She was super early. The label like folded. It was like a whole. It was.
Was she still Freddie too? So that was like a whole thing. No, she was after Freddie.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was in college when that record came out.
But it's those that know that record.
Yeah, like, Mean Sleep. They know
Amir stole it from me, so he know.
You know what? I did steal it from you. You gave me. Yeah, my bad.
That's all
sorry.
Right. That's cool. But
I got you a job, so, you know, we even now.
We are.
Yeah.
But will y'all ever meet again?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We've been talking about it.
She said that the same thing.
I just been so busy finishing this record. But, yes, that would be just a pleasure. You know?
With five, that record.
Wait, we skipped an album.
Oh, Circus. Oh no.
Yes, back to.
Did I go to Circus?
Boss Bill's.
Yeah, we touched on it. Yes, we did. Now,
Circus. Well.
Yeah, okay. why did everybody not like that record? I don't get it.
I remember the lead review. They had the lead review, and was it Vibe or
I don't know.
It was. I remember like wanted to read an early review on it, and it was either in Vibe, but they gave you the lead review, and they were kind of dismissive about it.
They
and
wouldn't have
like,
got that.
What
though.
In the hell?
But like, the thing is,
and my fan like the fans, that's their record.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, yeah. It's but the thing is that have we known any musician to make a song about a genre that they don't like anymore and it's ever worked? Like there's a
rock and roll is
there's a hip hop is dead, there's a rock and roll is dead, there's
and then Prince answered
country.
Me with
rock and roll is alive
and rock and roll is alive in Minneapolis. And he called me. He's like,
I'm
gonna
do said that?
It was like, a song. It was the B side of Gold.
No, like, I know that.
He's like,
but
I'm gonna
I knew that was
you.
For you.
Oh yeah. That was the answer to Rock and Roll is Dead.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
He's always just
we gonna clap back.
Wait, is Circus and Lenny like Electric Circus is to Common? Is it like a circus thing?
Damn. Black people need to stop making albums named after circuses.
I'm just asking. Right. I'm just saying.
Fonte,
no, because I don't
Circus was all the craziness now of all that was going on.
Yeah, but
the fame was crazy. Oh, okay.
But sonically, you were still
my
on
mom
your...
was dying. Like it was just like my world was a circus. It was a complete upside down thing that was happening.
I never felt as though you were off of your off your deem as far as
Philly?
I know, right? Straight Philly. I never felt you was off your deem with as far as your sonics are concerned. So
no.
I didn't consider it a departure record.
No.
Saying like with the...
I mean, it was different. Okay. It was a left turn after I Get On My Way. And, of course, the label was like, we want one more of those. And, you know, then I went and made Circus and took all these weird photographs and made weird videos. And, you know, it was that moment.
So were you nervous about losing the momentum?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I didn't care. No.
Why didn't you care?
Because I never thought about any of this. I just did what came out of me, and that for me is the success. Mm-hmm. You know,
freedom.
Just this is how I feel. This is the music. This is what we get right now, whether we like it or not. This is what we get. This is real. You know.
Okay.
And then you've got songs in there like that are, you know, Can't Get You Off My Mind and you know,
Tunnel Vision's one of my
Tunnel Vision and
yeah, I remember just reading the review, and then at the time I went to the. I think it was the Warehouse Music that was in the mall I was living at the time, and they had it on the listening station.
Uh-huh.
And so I just listened to it, and I was like, damn, like it don't, I didn't get where the flat was coming
right.
from.
Yeah. It was just out there. It was just kind of an out there record.
Man.
Yeah.
But I think in general, and you know, it's kind of been unspoken here, but I also feel that critically you've gotten a lot of double standard flack
Oh, absolutely.
For shit that, yeah, and it's and like
the things they were later calling people genius for, they were dogging me for.
Yeah, and I'm saying, you've been in the room with me, like when, okay, hope they don't kick me off the committee, but when we go to Rolling Stone to vote
for the
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that room controls, like, all the critical reviews of, you know, it's their opinions. And I definitely see people being protective of their, you know, their teenage history and feeling some sort of way that, you know. I mean, so that's never bothered you? Like, review is never?
You read some bullshit about yourself that's just like, you can tell the reviewer's got a thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen those reviews. I was like, damn, did I like slap his mama?
Right.
You know, fuck your girl.
Like, I've seen that, you know, but whatever.
I think Prince said that once.
Whatever.
He said that?
Like, did I sleep with your girl or something? Like,
yeah.
My album should not cause this much vitriol.
I'm enjoying the journey, and I'm still here. So, like, I'm just grateful, blessed. Like, I'm all good with it.
And you're like a living legend. So at the end of the day, even if you left this world today, you would still be that.
Damn,
and
you're
nothing.
Dramatic.
No, I was just saying.
Welcome to Laia.
This is Laia, man.
You don't know about Laia? Putting it in perspective that at this point it don't matter. You free. You can do what you want. And you are a legend. So that's the right of a legend. There you go. You're a young living legend, but you are.
Thank you, my dear.
Thank you, mama.
Gold velvet.
So with five.
Thank you, Professor Love.
Lenny, I'm sorry. I know you're doing this silent for me. You're like,
it's all good, man.
You know,
you're
like, what the fuck I walk into?
We're just nerds, man.
I'm happy to be here.
Like, when we going to get to the new album?
We're nerds. We're going to get to it. But with,
I definitely have questions about the new record. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're good.
Okay.
Okay.
Yay. Cool.
So five questions.
Five. Five. That was a record. I bought that. I was working at a record store that summer, and I bought it.
Purchased?
I purchased.
Okay. You didn't steal it?
I have a history of stealing music before you could go online.
Before you could go online and steal music.
I stole it in the real world.
And sidewalk harassment.
No, I do not sidewalk harass. But no, I bought that record because that was the first single, If You Can't Say No, was everywhere. Like that shit.
That was Mark Romantic again.
Yeah. How did you get Mila Jovovich to do that joint? Did I say her name right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jojevic.
Oh, okay.
Jojevic. Yeah.
So, no, you didn't.
Caricatured
the shit out of Jojevic.
To the blacks, you did. We've been calling her that the whole
Jojevic
time.
Jojevic is like a.
Since Blue Lagoon, we've been calling her Mila Jovovich. Okay. God, sorry.
Mark called her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mark called her. But that record was. I took a different turn sonically.
I started playing
with some electric stuff, started looping some stuff. Actually, it was Billy Corgan that turned me on to some gear from
Smashing Pumpkins.
We were on the same label.
Yeah.
And we were friendly. And he's like, man, you got to start using this and check this out and this thing. And,
okay.
And
because that was 98, and that was when Smashing Pumpkins, that was the Adore album.
Mm-hmm.
Ava Adore. Yeah, so that was, yeah. Okay.
So he turned me on to some gear and some stuff. I just started playing around with this. And I started the record in New York. I had a studio on 35th Street between Lex and 3rd. I had like a little carriage house, and I built a studio in there. And which ended up being like a big hangout for a while. It turned into a nightclub. And you'd come in there at night and you'd see U2 and Bobby Brown and Naomi Campbell and this one and that. I mean, it was the spot for a while.
Okay.
You know?
Was that the lyrics on that song, or was that based on a real situation that you were going through?
If You Can't Say No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yo, I never heard you say shit like that.
Well, because that was one of those songs that, like, I mean, it came out, it was 90, so I was like 19. So, you know, I was listening to it, and I'm like, okay, this is dope. But then just later
now, that song's kind of a bug out.
Yeah, I'm like, God damn, when you think about what you're really saying, like, damn, if you can't say no to fucking this nigga. If you cheat, just think of me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The savagery.
But that was a dope record. And then, of course, when that came out, the first single people were like, after all the rocks.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, what's that? but then Fly Away.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was not on the album.
What?
The album was done, mastered, turned in. And I'm still in the Bahamas working with Cree. And one day the engineer, who was this guy, Terry Manning, great engineer who ran Compass Point, but he cut all that Al Green and Staple Singers.
I was going to say, Isley Brothers, right?
Huh?
Didn't Terry also do Isley Brothers as well?
No, that was my engineer, Tom Edmonds, who was my live guy. He did the album with Don't Say Goodnight and all that stuff. Say You Will, Don't Say Goodnight. Here We Go Again.
How long did you work with that guy?
He was my live guy for years.
Really?
And then he cut the funk album that's coming later.
Okay.
He cut a lot of that record when we went to New Orleans.
He's still, during side circuits. Notes.
Yeah.
So there was a point where we started messing around doing some stuff, and his engineer brings in this bucket.
Oh, the what? Bucket of water?
The water bucket?
For the claps.
Wait, how'd y'all know? I told you
this. Told the story, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I really learned that from the Isley Brothers.
Yeah.
They'd wet their hands and get it. Mm-hmm. Pa!
And that's when
Slizzat
for the world.
That's Tom Edmonds. So shout out to Tom Edmonds.
Well, also, I mean, Five, I know that, when you were promoting Five on television, like, I know that your mom's death was a big part of the development of this record.
Thinking of you, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what prevented you from, I mean, were you, at the time, I know that you were distraught with her passing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this could have easily went another way where it's like an album to her.
It went joyous. Like, she died during circus,
mm-hmm.
right? And I kind of went through the whole mourning thing. I went right back on tour like a week after the funeral. I mean, I was back on the road. And by the time I got finished with all that and had gone through it and done the tour and took some time and went to go make Five, I was having such a good time with Cree. Cree brought so much laughter into my life. We laugh every day, crack up. She's so funny. And I was kind of started her record, then I got into mine, and I'd go back to hers. But we were all there together. It'd be like, all right, today you're off. I'm going to do my thing. Tomorrow we're going to do you. And I was in the Bahamas. Zoe's mom allowed Zoe to come down. I put her in school. She was there for almost a year. I put her in school in Nassau. And so I was in a good place. I had family down there, and all of these beautiful songs came out. You know, the record was very uplifting. It had a fresh new sound. Oh, but back to Fly Away. So Fly Away wasn't on the record. Terry had a Park amplifier, like a Marshall, in the room, and I was like, oh, I want to try that. So I plugged in a guitar, and when you play a guitar through a certain amp, it makes you go to certain chords because you notice that, oh, wow, these chords are really fat right here. That's where the riff came from, just listening to this amplifier.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, I'll just mess around with it, cut a B-side or something. And cut the song, had the track going. Then I didn't have the words or the melody yet. I was driving Zoe to school every day in this Jeep that I had along the ocean, just driving fast, driving to school, playing this track for like 3 or 4 days with Zoe in the car. And then the lyrics and the whole thing came to me. I cut it. A friend of mine heard it and was like, that song's incredible. I said, yeah, but it's not on the album. It's, I don't know. This guy begged me, a good friend of me, he's like, I beg you, please put this song on the record. I will not be your friend anymore if you don't put this song on the record. And he was like, and I'm like, the record's done. He called Virgin, we worked. I said, there's another song, I'm sorry, we have to read. Anyway, the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah.
God. I always wanted to know, why did you feel the need to cut your signature locks?
I didn't. What had happened was
Fly Away video. That's what I first.
No. What happened? This is.
Because I saw it and I was like, no.
No, this is the truth. Please. I went up to Zoe's mom's house in Topanga to visit her, and we're hanging out. We're smoking a joint and we're chilling. And she's like, you know what? You need to cut your hair. You need to change your energy. It's time.
Yes, I remember the story.
And I was like, huh? Homegirl left the room and came back with a razor blade.
Ooh.
Yeah. not some scissors though, because they were thick.
No, razor blade.
And then that's wow. Were you scared? More dramatic.
And she's like, she's like, you got to do it.
Like, she didn't cut him short and then?
No, she cut him with a razor blade.
Like, man. You know how much time that take? Like, the
Wait, you know what love you have to have for a woman? For her to convince you to cut your hair?
I don't know where were the scissors
in
the house.
I will never.
Lisa fit in the shave linen.
And meanwhile, I'm like, Lisa's hair is still locked, though.
Oh, she's flourishing. She's flourishing.
My energy is good, boo, she's but we like, need to cut yours.
Yeah. I mean, was this an easy sell?
No, dude, I was sitting there. I was high. Fuck.
No,
and I'm
man.
Like, and I'm like starting to buy it because I'm like, she's like, I'm a D. Sampson this motherfucker. No.
I'm sorry.
I need her on the show. She's, no. She's
but
my
that
hero.
Was a good call though, because I remember. No, like, that
but
record.
It came from a place of love. It did. It wasn't shady.
But I actually got it more women.
And then I was like, you know what? Because this thing came with me, right? Mm-hmm. The concerts and the hair flying. I was like, if I could get over without it, that means that I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like.
So you didn't want hair to define you and.
All that bullshit.
No, he's not his hair.
You know? Yeah.
Nigga, I'm my hair.
He's so not his instrument.
Take that. Twist it off my reed.
No, because I remember it was a good call because when the album came out and the cover,
that's like,
I was like, yo, he got a
because the first
table.
Video I had my dreads were like down in my ass.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
What
can't say no, and then fly away. Yeah, they were cut.
Yeah, he had to cut. I was like, oh, Lenny got what? He got the number five on
is the
barbershop.
Is that the white button down?
No, but it wasn't cut like that. It was just like kind of bumpy and like little afro, but it was like. Yeah, man. So that's what happened. It was a stony day in
Malibu.
I
got scared
with baby mama.
I saw what happened to what's his name in Souls of Mischief.
Like
Opio. When people cut their head, it's a wrap. People cut their hair, it's a wrap.
But the funny part is it took so long for her to do it that at some point the high wore off. And you had to be like, but wait.
Oh no, dude. I was staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel and I got back to the hotel and I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh.
Did part of you feel like y'all getting back together? Like,
No. There was none of that.
Where is your hair? Someone has it.
I have it.
Okay.
I have it.
So today, though.
That belongs to Zoe. I have it.
Wow.
Yeah. Aww.
But you're back. You locked up. You locked again.
I'm coming forward again.
Yes.
I'm coming forward. Yeah.
Yo, I'm good friends with Gina Gershon.
Are you?
You went to high school with
him? We went to high school together.
Okay. Ooh, Bound.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Ooh.
Sorry.
That's your reference?
Wow.
Fucking
now,
right.
Bound was the joint.
Jennifer now, Tilly.
Bound was the joint, but that was so
Gina
fucking
Gershon,
random. Right.
And she was.
Oh.
Yes,
I forgot about Bound.
Yeah. Okay. Not part two, part one.
My reference
hold
is
up.
Like.
There's a two-part Bound?
Yeah.
Oh, there was?
How do you know this?
That's not true.
Red Box Cinema.
Do you see, you know, like this scares the shit out of me? Like, is they new shit?
Cocktail.
I like mad rated
cocktail?
PG porn.
She wasn't Cocktail, damn.
How about Showgirls?
Ooh, she was the one of my
ultimate,
favorite
the ultimate B movie.
Yes!
Versace, such a good movie.
Ooh, Versace. On stage.
Come on.
She took advantage.
That movie's genius.
On stage.
Showgirls is my reference for, like, when something's so bad, it's good. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I say Showgirls.
Yo, but Gina Gershon and Showgirls was such a fucking pimp and, like, gangster. I'm sorry. Yeah. I've seen it a lot.
Just yell out more Gina Gershon movies. Go.
Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
Don't encourage. Well,
I got you.
We're only on the side.
You get that, Gina. I get, because she.
Cocktail. She was in
she
Cocktail.
Wants to start a, because she plays Juice Harp.
She played with Bob Dylan.
Yeah, and what?
I know.
That's something you could do professionally? Play Juice Harp?
Yes.
First of all, best name of an instrument ever.
But matter of fact, wait a minute. me and she came out and played Juice Harp with us at our first not Lollapalooza at in Tennessee, Bamboozled.
Bamboozled. That's a Spike Lee movie.
Black Festival.
We're only on the fifth album, people.
All right, okay. All right,
thank you, Bill.
Because I got mad question.
Me too.
All right, let's go random.
What's next, okay. Lenny?
Five,
Lenny, yeah.
Let's go. All right, go.
Damn.
You kick it off. We're just going rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Okay, well, just any album?
Just rapid fire. We're just going around, yeah.
On the new record.
Okay, oh, wow.
The song Low. Am I detecting a Michael Jackson influence in your vocal performance? Because it ends with the hoo-hoo. That, which is very Michael-esque.
That
Sing
is
that
Michael.
Shit, Boss Bill.
Wait, what'd you say?
That is Michael. He's singing background on the record.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say, you worked with him when?
We worked together, and I... No, well, I produced... Well, yeah, well, to, on his version, it was called Another Day.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's the same song.
Right.
Wait, Storm was initially Michael Jackson's song?
I did it for Michael when he was doing Invincible, right? But they didn't put it on the record. John was putting the record together with Michael. Mm-hmm. They said it was too hard. And Michael was like, I'm going to save it for my next record because he loved the track. So it didn't come out. And I thought, I was like, it's never going to come out. So then I went and cut it as Storm, but made it kind of smooth, right? But it was written the way I did it for Michael. Mm-hmm. So we had worked on stuff at Marvin's room in L.A., at John's studio.
Oh, shit, at John McClane's studio.
That's where we cut that stuff.
Okay.
So
reminder, you guys.
We had worked on different tracks, and we had different stuff, and so I had ad-libs that were to this groove, and anyway... I put it on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, my ears are pretty good.
Yeah, that is Michael. Okay. You were like, you thought Lenny's fighting hard.
Well, I was like, I've never heard Lenny channel Michael Jackson
No,
before,
that is Michael.
Okay.
So wait, when you got a call to work with Michael Jackson, you felt like, okay, it's worth investigating?
He said, write me a song and produce a song for me.
Wow.
John, he went through John. Mm-hmm. John called me. We met in the studio, and I wrote the song like, couple days before he came in. I was like, I'm like, what am I going to do? So I wrote this song from where I thought his point of view might have been at that time, and wrote that song. And then he came in and he was like...
You tracked it at Marvin's room too?
Yes.
So you can go to any studio and
it's harder.
Just pray to God
it's harder.
That they nail my sound?
It's harder.
Because
yes.
I figured you want to track when people are going for the Lenny Kravitz sound. Mm-hmm. That you want to do it at your spot in Bahamas.
Of course,
that's
but there's certain times when you just can't, you know? So did it there, and it was an amazing few days.
Really?
He was...
It wasn't overwhelming or none of that stuff?
I mean, he started out, he's like, okay, I taught him the song. So I'm teaching him the song, and I'm writing the lyrics out for him, putting it on the music stands. And he's like, Lenny, I want to do it exactly the way you hear it. So you stop me when I mess up. So
really?
I'm like, okay.
Did you I'm find shocked. That
hard to do? So, no, he was humble, sweet, giving. So we start, and within the first couple notes, he's not phrasing the melody correctly. And I'm like,
how do I correct my correction?
You know what I mean? Like, really? I'm going to stop this brother? Like, and he's out there and he's dancing. You know, the whole thing, man. You know, and I'm just like, you got to lay back here. And I said, it goes like this. Man, we did that all day. Wow. And he's like, no, I want you to stop me. And it was a bug out.
Even when being polite, I always think it's a test of wills because you're not the first person that gave me a story where it's like a mammoth Michael Jackson recording session that even though it's, you know, he's polite and that he's going to work you to the bone until he feels it's correct, which I never feel that he feels that anything
he
about him is correct.
Hard, man. And I mean, he worked hard. And then when it got time for the ad-libs at the end, it was like he's screaming. He's at the top of his voice and all that. You know, he's like, he's warming up with Seth Riggs.
Right.
And then he's like, Lenny, I got 30 minutes. I'm gonna have no voice at the end of 30 minutes. So you get all these ad libs now, and he just gives it to you. I mean, blood coming out of him. I mean, and then he's like, and then that's it. You know.
I was gonna ask.
But he
though,
gives it to you.
I was gonna ask though if latter day Michael Jackson, but like post.
Go ahead.
Post Dangerous Michael Jackson, I always felt which is weirding me out because he has the best vocal coach on earth with Seth Riggs, but because he sang with such a fire and an anger in his stomach post 95.
Yeah, when it got really
right.
Yeah.
And which it's like, dude, you're going to destroy your voice, but he was so known as having a beautiful velvet tenor. Mm. And he stopped using
it. But then he would give you butterflies. Mm-hmm.
Right. But even then, I heard that initially the tracking
that
of
that track
it,
is smooth, all them harmonies. Yeah.
But I heard initially that they had to
make him
convince him to just come naked with your voice, that you're old school, you know, and not come so aggressive with it.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was asking, like, did you ever once think, like, let me write him a song that forces him to use his singing velvet voice, which he rarely used post 95.
I went straight for the, like, okay, let's give him like a Dirty Diana.
He wants a rocker.
Give him the rock thing, you know?
Okay.
So that's why I went there, yeah.
Yeah, I love the Just Blaze remix of Storm. Your version of Storm. Mm-hmm. He remixed that joint. I love that song.
How did that come to be? You guys?
The Black Department.
That's
ever.
Oh my God, that's classic.
That's so real. That's so real.
That's it.
We need to blacken this up.
Wait, just... I really want to know, how did Heavy D wind up producing Guns N' Roses?
Dude.
Yo,
Heavy used to come hang out at my house in Miami because he was friends with my assistant, Deneen. Mm-hmm. They were friends from back in the day. And he's like, I got this track. And I mean, it was just a phone call.
Right.
It wasn't bad.
No. It because at the top of the, I was like, Heavy, wait, right, what?
Yeah. It's like Heavy production.
You bastards. Yeah.
Jay-Z, Lenny Kravitz. Heavy D production, you bastard.
One thing, never, even though I knew he was doing tracks and stuff, because like.
I didn't know he was producing.
He was producing hard, and even when I heard the results, and like, oh, you're really producing, I still didn't want to register.
Right.
That bum diddly was producing the song. So how did you guys sell it to Jay?
No, I had nothing to do with it. I got the call that this was going down.
Oh.
Like, come do it. Like, Jay did it.
So have you Jay played him the track first?
Jay was already on it.
Ah, okay, okay.
They just wanted me to sing the hook.
Oh.
And play guitar, yeah, so... Yeah.
There was another record, and I cannot remember the name of it. A couple years back, you did a remix competition. It was with Absolute.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The
I'm so
joint.
Into you.
Right.
No. Yeah.
The Jazzanova remix of that shit. Man, like, I don't even know if you even know.
He probably doesn't know that.
I'd have to hear it.
Dude.
Yeah, there were so many mixes.
It's a jam.
Oh,
is
God.
It?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hell,
okay.
Yeah. That shit jamming like shit.
Mm. Like, I might need to put that back in my sets.
Yeah, run that whole back again.
Wait, what album's it on?
It wasn't on an album.
It was just like I was in France somewhere. I don't know, some studio cutting that thing. Yeah.
It's I don't remember the name of it.
It's called Breathe.
It was called Breathe. Okay.
Mm. Mm.
Absolute Kravitz.
Yeah, right. That's why I remember it as. I knew that wasn't the name of the song. I'm trying to think.
But yeah, it was a competition or not a competition, but
yeah, it was like a remix. Yeah, because like
a bunch of guys,
they had a bunch of guys. Yeah, yeah. My buddy Eric Robinson, he did a remix too. Sinner, your acting career. We didn't get.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I got it. Ah, damn. Can I hijack this, please? Because I know we got minutes left.
Hijack it and say Questlove Supreme. Boo, go ahead.
Oh, you acknowledge it?
It's Questlove Supreme, not Lyee Supreme.
Thank you. Okay, so. One of the things that I love best about your career. Wait a minute. One last music question.
Okay.
So much clapping.
You've been promising this funk album forever.
And it's coming.
Like, motherfucker, you've been saying this since 1998.
I am crying wolf, right?
Is it still called Negrophilia? Because
yes,
I love that title.
Keep that shit.
But what I'm doing, reason Raised Vibration came out now, that record is... pretty much, it's like 99.9% done.
Okay.
I'm going to be making a film to it. That's all I'll say. I don't want to say too much.
Dope.
And that's what's going to be coming next. Okay. So I'll just give you that.
That's worth waiting for.
Yes. But yes, it's going to be. I've been waiting for this record.
Concert film or like?
Pardon?
Is it a concert film
like
or a narrative?
No, like a film. Like film, a, film. Okay. A movie.
Okay.
But, yes. And that's going to be the soundtrack.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just please don't let it be the Superfly remake.
No, no.
Wait, what?
I promise.
The Superfly remake?
Yeah. I promise.
It's coming out.
Boss Bill's
like
getting
named.
I promise.
I'm getting scared.
I don't let it be Idlewild.
You mean the one that's coming out?
Yeah, yeah. The one that's coming out.
Yeah.
Don't hate on Trevor Jackson,
wait,
though.
Speaking of Superfly remakes.
Oh, Superfly
2. The Return.
That was a weird. Yeah. That's the one with Ice-T, right?
Yeah.
Man, I got a phone call from the label. I kept, and they were like, we need you to fix this track. So they sent me the tracks, and they made me take all the instruments off, and I had to play all the instruments over again to make it sound like Curtis Mayfield-ish. Okay. You know, that's, and I was like, well, I'll do anything for Curtis. Right. You know, he gave me his bass player.
Wow.
But
word?
On my first tour, LeBron Scott, Lucky Scott's brother. Lucky's the one who's on the actual Superfly record.
Yes.
His little brother, LeBron, who unfortunately just passed a few months ago, was my bass player. And I used to go to Curtis shows, and I loved the bass player. And the bass player and I became friends. I was like, man, I would love you to join the band. And Curtis gave the blessing. He's like, go on, then you take it.
Also, what's his name? Was your saxophone player for a second?
Carl Denson.
Carl Denson.
For three albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We went past her, but can I just ask the first time you ever heard Cindy Blackman? Because we said her name real fast, but.
Cindy Blackman.
Cindy Blackman Santana.
I was friends with a guy named Anton Roney, who's Wallace Roney's brother. Wallace Roney's a trumpet player.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
The Miles, they call him like the Miles kind of protege. Like his brother's a sax player. I knew, did some sessions for me. And he knew Cindy because Cindy was at the time dating Wallace. Okay.
Oh. And so you know,
and I was at the time living at Rick Rubin's house in LA. And
with those dogs?
Yep.
That's a good couch,
those damn
too.
Dogs.
Shampa and one's
dogs.
Name is Shampa. I forget the other one's name. They're those black dreadlock dogs. Zoe used to, man, Zoe was so scared of those dogs.
I know, but because you couldn't see their faces.
She was so scared of those dogs. Yeah. She used to run screaming from
the
dogs.
The ones that look like mops?
Yeah.
Mop
dogs. But mama dog runs and then the little babies run behind. Like, it's just, I love those dogs.
But anyway.
Anyway.
I was having a drum audition. All these drummers were coming from all over the place.
Including Andy Kravitz.
Yes, he did. And River Phoenix brought me a drummer.
River Phoenix!
That was, yeah, River had a friend that was like his best friend that was his drummer. It was the last time I saw River. He brought this drummer from Florida. And then there was also another drummer that auditioned, and he died. I ended up giving him to Robert Plant and Jimmy Page.
Okay.
Not giving, but recommending.
I want to know why you didn't choose Andy Kravitz.
I almost did because he was coming with some Bonham madness. Know. But Cindy Blackman, boy, she came with the fire. She was playing all that Elvin Jones.
Right.
I mean, just killing it. And she was fine.
Side note. Yes. Side note. I used to intern at Rough House Studio 4 in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Where
that's right. Andy was... Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're
that's
Rough House.
Right.
So the day he got that call, it was like he knew it was like
Mama Mace.
And he had my name.
Yes. And he, yo, his attitude was sort of like, sayonara, bitches. Like, I'm going to go with Lenny Kravitz.
I almost had it.
And then, like, the sitcom flashed the back. The next Monday morning.
It's like, wah, 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 wah.
That's like black woman history,
hey,
though.
Hey, Andy, do you
That's
want
beautiful.
Some coffee?
You
okay.
And that was the last time a black woman took a job from a white man.
I was rehearsing at the Lyric Theater on 42nd Street, which is the theater in Taxi Driver where he takes Cybill Shepherd to go see the porno.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
That was that theater.
You're so old school. Why would you choose that spot? Not SIR,
it was,
like regular
I should have, man. It was for sale at the time for like $2. I should have bought it. Oh. This was before the cleanup.
Right.
42nd Street. But yeah, we were rehearsing there because it didn't cost shit.
Wow.
And that's where Andy Kravitz showed up. And he, man, he was playing his, where is
what? He? I haven't talked to him since I got a record deal.
Wow. Oh, like, damn.
No, I interned at Rough House. And then my last day of interning, I asked Chris Schwartz and Joe Niccolo, Joe the Butcher, can I borrow $1,500 to pay for my pass the popcorn video?
They gave it to me.
They paid for it.
Oh.
I interned and they paid for the video.
You know a guitar player from Philly named Mike Tyler?
Yes, I do. Pop's Cool Love.
Mike Tyler was one of the guys in that black Duran Duran.
Of course.
Tony, a couple another guy, Mike Tyler.
Convention. It was the light skin convention. Yeah.
Always.
It's like the great. This is the super convention. Friends of.
I still see him. He ended up in Amsterdam.
Yeah, he was.
He's got a Dutch lady and kids, and yeah.
You know Mike Tyler. He's playing with LL Mama Sit Knock You Out. The blonde.
Oh yeah.
He's playing on the acoustic.
On the okay. On the.
That's
MTV
right.
Unplugged.
On the unplugged. That's
with
right.
The deodorant. Yeah.
LL was killing it.
It's so weird. Yeah. Like,
LL, you need some clear jail, baby.
No, dog. No, real talk. Okay, so when I inducted,
that's why I use clear jail to this day, because
it's one of the best things you've ever said.
No, but here's the thing.
Deodorant balls under LL's joint.
Here's the thing, though. When I inducted LL at the Kennedy Center Honors, right? Mm-hmm. And told the audience straight up the reason why I use Secret Unscented was because LL.
You said that in front of all those people?
It was my best. Chappelle laughed his ass off in the front row. But it was true because Secret keeps you dry. And it's like.
And don't ball up.
Hey, Secret made for. Wow. Man,
with that little sexy octopus.
I can't.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're really taking it to place.
So,
we got to talk. Hunger Games. We got four. I know years ago. Hunger Games. How did that come about? I loved you in that role.
I got a phone call. That's it.
What?
It's that simple. I didn't audition. I got a phone call. Well, Gary,
you got a great phone. It just keeps ringing.
Wait, how do people get your number?
the director saw Precious.
And Precious, she was awesome in that.
I had I was on tour, and Lee's like, just come in for a day. It's just this little part. You could do it in a day, and I came in and did that. And then the director of Hunger Games saw that, and just like, I'm doing this movie. It's called Hunger Games. It's these books, and da-da-da. I didn't know anything about it, and then I had to go get the book and read it, and then I was like, okay, I'll do it. Like,
but it must,
having no idea that it was going to be like
be a
this
phenomenon. Yeah.
But after doing Precious and all that emotion and stuff that it took to do that role, like Hunger Games must have been like, okay.
No, but it was cool. It was actually that we rehearsed a little bit the scenes. It was. I mean, you know, I'm sitting there doing scenes with Jennifer Lawrence and all these folks. I mean, it was cool. It was different.
With your new the movie that you're talking about doing, mm-hmm. Negrophilia, are you acting in that?
I shall be, yes.
Okay. Directing as well or just?
Quite possibly.
Okay.
Did you write it?
No. I mean, I came up with like the story, but I'm having a writer, a proper writer, really.
We're trying to get as much out of you as we
Yeah,
can.
That's it.
No, I just really dig you as an actor, man. I'd like
Thank
to see you,
man.
Do more of it.
Thank you.
And you said how easy it was for Hunger Games to get you, but how did Lee Daniels get you for that role for that movie at
just
that
time?
Just
a phone call, man.
It was a phone call.
But that role wasn't simple enough for just a
telephone call. for me. Put a message in a bottle, baby.
Put a message in a bottle.
Yes, Atlantic
That's
Star.
That's called Star, you two.
I love that whole moment.
No, I was thinking Mr. Telephone Man by New Edition.
No.
That's Ray Parker Jr. Yeah.
Your era of Lang Star is Secret Lovers, but this is the A&M.
Before Barbara Weathers.
Before their black period.
This is like, if your heart isn't in it and all that crap.
The black department.
Yeah, man.
What? Okay, so anyway.
What are you asking about? Oh, Lee Daniels.
Yes.
So I was having dinner one night at Mr. Chow, and...
You're so old school.
You just told us a Mr. Chow story, too. Shut up.
I'm sitting at Basquiat's table, the one up on the top there where they all used to hang. And Lee Daniels is sitting across the room with Julian Schnabel, the artist and director, painter and director. Julian brings him over because I've known Julian. Well, I met Julian a million years ago. I actually was supposed to play Basquiat in that movie, but I turned it down.
You should have.
No, because then we wouldn't have Jeffrey Wright, but it makes sense.
No, Jeffrey Wright was genius, but here's what happened. I had just gotten off the Let Love Rule. Now we're going to another story. I had just gotten off of the Let Love Rule tour,
Okay.
And Julian was like, I'm making this movie about Jean-Michel. I want you to play Jean-Michel. I'm going to come over and I'm going to start teaching you how to paint and da 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 da. I was living in the building with this guy, Shenge, who is a character in the movie who was one of Jean-Michel's friends. And he was just like, you know, you can't do this. But I loved Julian, and it was just like, because I knew him. And I had just come off of my tour, and I was trying to become Lenny Kravitz. I was trying to become myself, and I felt like I didn't want to play somebody else.
So he talked you out of it? You're the person he talked you out of it?
Not only that, Jean-Michel's girlfriend, who was best friends with my girlfriend and the one who found him dead,
right?
She had some things to say. It just was a whole thing. I was too close to all these people.
Side note and shameless plug: I talk about. Well, I didn't know that.
Are you about to plug your book?
Hell yeah, I am. Because I didn't know that you were the person they talked it out.
Her name was Kelly, the girl who was Jean-Michel's. But
I talked about Julian because David and Julian sort of had words about each other.
David who?
I talk about Bowie because he played.
Warhol.
He
played Andy Warhol. But yeah, I shameless plug, I talk about Julian in Creative Quest, my fourth book.
Creative Quest.
Okay.
Yes. Shameless plug.
In bookstores now.
Good to know. So then Lee came over at the dinner table.
So Julian Schnabel, thank you, babe.
Yeah, no problem. I'm here.
Lee Daniels, Julian Schnabel brings Lee over, says Lee wants to meet you. Lee's like, I've been trying to get you. I've been trying to find you. I wanted you to be in Monsters Ball. I didn't get no phone call. I can't. Nobody called me back. Your people. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So he wanted me.
So you didn't know him from a can of paint?
No, I knew
who he was. Yeah. About his,
so you knew about Monsters Ball?
I knew nothing about him reaching out to me.
Okay.
I had seen those films, yes.
Okay.
But, and then there was a movie that he wanted me to star in that was this really hardcore movie that he never ended up making because it was for me to say Lee thought it was extra hardcore tells you how hardcore it was.
Which hardcore, was like some Uzis and nines?
Like some just crazy.
Lee hardcore, not
some
Uzi.
Crazy. Like guy the Woodsman, like. And his life. And anyway.
Right.
So he's like, until we make this movie, why don't you just come and like play this part? And then again, in The Butler. And we never ended up making this film that I was supposed to star in, but he got me to do what he wanted me to do. But
oh my God.
But it was great, man. I got to work in these films and you know.
I forgot about The Butler.
Lenny.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What?
The greatest night of my life. Okay. Do you remember the dinner? You remember that after you saw The Butler for the first time? And the dinner that we went to at the Japanese restaurant.
At N.
Yes.
Yes.
Who was that lawyer? Who was telling, was that your friend or was that Cuba Gooding's friend? Who was that lawyer?
That's Cuba's friend, the lawyer.
That dude is the most, I can't, this is what I learned this night. So the entire cast.
I love that guy.
Yes, he's the great, I need that guy almost. I got to find Cuba then.
You wouldn't even know he was this big, like, defense lawyer, like.
You think I love telling
stories. I'm not
going to
mention his name.
I don't know his name.
Yeah.
You think I love telling stories? This guy was born to tell a story. Like he deserves to be at any dinner party whatsoever. The entire Butler cast just watches. That was your first time seeing the complete. Okay, so they all saw the complete Butler, whatever. And Zoe and I were at N, and she tells them, like, you know, Dad's going to join us.
You were all sitting in that little booth in the back.
Right. Yeah. We thought it was three, but then it was like 3,000 people.
Yeah.
So everyone came. So what I learned this night was, one, the way that Forrest Whitaker, it takes Forrest Whitaker 2 months to prepare for a role, to get into character.
Okay.
So if it's an accent or, you know, whatever it is physically.
Painter.
Exactly. Well, I think the time before he was just he had to get rid of that.
Last King of Scotland.
Right. So the thing was, he couldn't join us at the dinner. Because he literally, his process of getting rid of a character is crying out.
That's right, he wouldn't show up. That's right.
So
he had to go do his thing.
So he had a hoodie.
He said crying it out? Is that what you said?
He had a hoodie on and some dark glasses.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he's not the butler anymore. He was done.
Oh.
So once he saw the movie, and the only way for him to become Forrest Whitaker again, he walked from, where's the restaurant? Like in
downtown. Like,
Tribeca.
Yeah, Tribeca.
So he walked from
Tribeca. And the theater was right there in Tribeca too.
Right.
Yeah.
He walked from Tribeca all the way to Harlem.
God damn.
And he cheese says cake? Every film. It's not even like, what'd you say?
So for cheesecake? Cheesecake. Like
no, but this yeah, is amazing to me. Because he's such a... He's such a method actor that the only way for him to come back down to being Forrest Whitaker again is he has to physically... boo and sob the character out.
Oh, I love him
so
more.
He walks. So that's why he couldn't join us for dinner. But
Cuba came.
Cuba came, and his
Cuba's
lawyer.
Down.
He is. He's fun.
Cuba's always down,
dude. I need Cuba and his lawyer on the show.
Yeah,
Cuba is
just
fun.
To talk shit. Yeah, yeah I whatever thoughts
what kind
you've
of stories
had,
were they telling?
I mean, at the time he was dealing with. Lindsay Lohan and her
shit,
court appearances.
Oh, that's like, right.
And the thing, like, I only heard his side of the conversation, and I realized that because she was in court every week, that the only way for her to really generate any sort of, like, high money monetary action was to wear designers to court.
Wow.
So it would be a
corner. Awesome. Yeah,
That's sad.
Chanel, wait, paying what? No. Well, Gucci, no. Well, call me back when you get money. And then he would tell this, like, we were there for 4 hours. I thought it was your boy, Cuba's boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, this guy doesn't look like a lawyer. He looks like one of the Beastie Boys when he's not in. He's got a cap, and, you know, he's a New York kid. But, yeah. But
Lenny, I got to ask you something before we stop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm realizing now that your entire story has definitely affected my career, just based on whatever you were associated with back then, rippling, like whatever. But the one move you did that definitely affected my career, and I'm so happy about, I got one thing up on Ye, which is your design business.
Hmm.
And first of all, where did this come from? Like you wanting to... Like, you are the most buzzed about, spoken about, and talked about furniture designer, art deco person I've ever... Like, the way they talk about you at Sandow and at Culture and Commerce is crazy to me. But what I want to know is, you and I were in the audience at the same time when this happened. So we're in the audience doing a legendary... Kanye rant.
Oh, that night.
Which one?
right.
Okay, so basically.
You know he didn't know I was there.
I know this.
I had just landed in New York, decided to go, went through the back door, Madison Square Garden. He had no idea I was there.
I know this.
Yeah.
And the thing was, when I walked by you, like once it was like 25 minutes, I was like, all right, I gotta go. So I walked and I called.
Chris Rock was there too. Was he with you?
He wasn't. Who was I with? I'm about to say Stringer Bell.
Idris Elba.
Y'all just so cool. Drop another name. I don't know. It don't matter. Just anybody.
No, I mean, Kanye's in town, so everybody.
Okay. No, but I didn't see you. I didn't see you, right? No.
You were sitting
I was sitting
in the
with John McEnroe.
Right. And so I walked past you, and I looked at you.
As you do.
Wow.
And I looked at you. Oh, you got to make me a drop a name song.
Okay. I mean, John McEnroe.
And we shrugged
at each other. Did you see that coming?
I did not see that coming. Nope.
And we shrugged at each other.
And his wife, Patty, yeah.
And we shrugged at each other. But what you don't know is that is what set it in motion. All right, here's the deal. Like, Culture and Commerce.
I became the original nigga in Paris that night.
Yes, you
That's
did.
Right.
Wait, yeah. What I want to know is, number one, how long have you been working with Culture and Commerce and Sandow at the time?
I mean, for years. But this whole thing started back in those lofts in New York City, my first album.
Right.
I didn't have money to buy furniture. I didn't have money to decorate, but I loved vibe and ambiance and, you know, creating that whole thing. So in Soho at that time, you know, when I was living in Soho in 88, I mean, Soho was, Broom Street was kind of nasty. Mm-hmm. We had rats.
Kind
of? We got, a bunch of my friends got held up knife point in my building. I mean, it was that kind of thing. It was all artists squatting around and, So I would find furniture on the street and remake it and and make stuff, and it all started.
Do you shellac?
Do I what?
Do you shellac? And
I can.
It sounds like a personal question.
So, Lenny, do you shellac? No.
Yeah, I can shellac.
What I'm saying is,
last time you asked that, excuse me, Lenny Kravitz, do you shellac?
Not shellac. I mean, but just as far as no, because when some people listen to me, when people design, they're not hands-on designers. They don't shellac. They don't whittle. Right. They don't.
Yeah, they outsource whittle. All that shit.
When do you learn these words?
He's like on the Andy Griffith show.
I know what whittling is.
I'm just saying you don't kind of comment.
Yeah, I'm just saying that you actually do the designing.
You build, you hammer.
It's not a licensed thing to just take my name and then just throw it on something.
Exactamundo. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get with.
Right. No.
And so at his, well, I know that Latifah was your first major.
Well, that was a first. Well, I'd never done a set before.
Right.
That was
the first. Right. You designed
set.
The set.
The original QLS.
But I mean, we've
Shout
been doing
Latifah.
Hotels and condos and products and, you know.
For the longest.
You know, from a Rolex Daytona to a Leica camera to this, that, working with Philippe Starck.
They came to you first,
yes.
Correct?
It's a phone call.
So that's the thing. So basically, this 25-minute rant. Was
and which rant is this? Which kind of
it was basically about how he wanted to
Madison
break
Square
into
Garden.
Designing.
Yeah, he was basically just saying like you know the whole like let me
oh that
I
want
to design hotels.
Okay.
I wanted to
right. that one.
The
okay.
thing was he'd been trying to break into a particular firm. This firm to use him. And
by the way, is he not killing it like with the shoes?
He wants more.
He wants more.
He wants more from Charlie Murphy.
Ain't nobody paying $100,000 for a white wall.
I forgot about that.
A white wall.
Yeah, and they didn't take his phone calls. Mainly because it's a we come to you. You don't come to us.
But how did I get brought? I don't even remember how it started. I remember what ended up being.
The thing is, you
I don't remember how it started.
You don't, because you don't know your buzz, yo. Like for all of us crabs in the pot. We know that you broke to the other side. For you to design for Culture and Commerce, that's some secret Illuminati
damn
shit. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know about it, so yeah.
So, okay, I might spoiler alert a Roots project or whatever, but half the time when you like some shit like, oh, I didn't know you wrote a book, I just really like to make sure some shit is done before I say ahead of time. Oh, you know, next year I'm going to have a book coming out. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But, I mean, I will say that once you went with that firm, I took a meeting with them. And
oh, you and the Illuminati now, too.
Yeah, I got.
It started with Philippe Starck because he came and saw my work in Paris.
Right.
And he's like, you need to be doing this for real. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you're really good. I like what you're doing. I see it. I feel it. I'm gonna hook you up with my people. That's what happened. And then Philippe Starck ushered me in.
So I mean, did he come to your apartment and be like, "Who designed the place?"
He came to my house and he looked at everything. He looked at the furniture I made. He looked at the design. He looked at all the stuff, the wallpaper we'd made. He looked at everything and he was just like, "Really? Like you need to be doing this?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I do it." But he looked at me like, "No, you need to do this. You should be doing this for real." So I'm going to hook up with my people. That was it.
So,
next thing, I got, Philippe Starck, you know.
But I kind of admire the way that you didn't super pimp it. Like, the secret, it's known in the design world what a monster you are. Like, I mean, have you been up for awards or any of that sort of thing?
No. But we got great projects.
And do you have an official title? Because for the longest, it was like, no one knew what you're going to call your.
It's Kravitz Design.
Okay.
That's the name of the company. Okay. Yeah, cool. We have an office on Crosby Street.
And you said there is an everyday person like line situation that if they wanted to have a.
Do you have something for IKEA? Do you have
something for broke people?
You got chaps.
Thank you. One day will it be available at Target?
We did a line for CB2.
Okay.
That's now part of their permanent thing, which is
that's
affordable.
That's accessible. You're going to get CB2.
Where is CB2 located?
Crate and Barrel 2.
Crate and Barrel 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. I'm just getting to a Crate and Barrel status. Some of us are just at IKEA, but I'm ready.
You just want to hook up?
What's up?
Anything you want, I'll make it for you.
No, wrong one. You need to go Barry White.
Barry White.
Oh, sorry. Forgive me.
Lenny, please excuse
the
sweat.
Wait, but she put the jacket on. Like, it don't matter no more.
Yeah, you got the sweat on.
You didn't hear what he said.
Don't the jacket activate your glandular problem?
It just...
You don't pull it off with the glandular problem?
Between the jacket and that last 2 minutes. Off. Yeah. But if I take it off, it's...
Take that coat off.
I am hot, though.
Glandular problem.
No, those glands are not a problem.
But I do want to take on that offer because I just moved it. I do want to say, Carla, excuse me,
no, you just spoke, and I thought it was Paul Schaefer. I swear to God. I thought he pushed the Paul Schaefer button on him. I swear to God, he sounded just like him, bro.
That's a compliment, I think. I can't tell.
I thought he pushed the button.
Lenny, I just want to say I'll take you up on your offer because I just moved into a new place, so don't make jokes.
Where'd you move?
I moved to Hollywood. Hollywood?
Hollywood?
Yeah.
Oh, you live in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a long story.
Is that a problem for you?
It's not a problem at all.
I take shipping. I mean,
no, it's not a problem at all. I just thought we were all. I thought this was a New York crew. Here.
That's how special you are.
I'm born and raised in D.C.
Where are you from?
I'm from D.C.
Oh, okay.
So, and then kind of raised in Philly a little.
Howard?
High school across the street at Banneker. Clark, Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
This has got to be the most fun show there is.
I was about to say, because you actually let us do a double episode. That's all I wanted. Shout out to Carlene Donovan.
Yes.
Shout out to Carlene Donovan.
Her management is like, what the fuck?
I appreciate this, man.
I was waiting for the food to come out, and you know,
we tried that the first episode with Maya Rudolph,
Mr.
and we all fell asleep.
Yeah, well,
culinary, you know.
I used to feed, but then like we
you should have
asleep.
A dude here.
It was bad.
With a whole like stove thing back there, like you know.
I like this suggestion.
We should have a private chef
flying guys in from all over the world.
Yeah, flying guys in. Quest loves food. You know, that's a whole thing too. So
yeah, you know, Boss Bill won't let us eat on the air.
No, because people be chewing in the microphone.
Nah,
not
at 8, not at night. We can do it maybe during the day.
Back in the day, I used to eat his chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't eat chicken anymore?
That's right. The picture of you at the I remember that.
Oh yeah, that's how we did take a picture.
Yeah.
That was early Instagram days.
At Highbird. You're there at the ground floor, man.
So are you like vegan now? Or
I go through, last year I was raw.
Okay.
Raw vegan.
Woo!
Yeah.
I was going to say, how come you still look like a teenager?
Yeah, I'm going to need to know.
I'm
going to need your nutritionist number, your trainer's number.
Like, do you know what gaining weight is or having a stomach? Because
I got a laundry bag. Like, I need a wash.
I mean, off season, I can, you know, have a little fun, but, you know.
Like, do you work out? Like, you just seem like...
I do. I work out.
Stuck in a teenager's body.
I work out and I eat clean, you know?
If you could, would you just retire and get fat?
There's a side of me. See, there's a big, fat, black woman inside of me.
Wait, that is from like
you don't know.
Nah, that's real.
You don't know.
I understand. I understand.
You know,
you don't know. I understand.
And her name is Mabel.
You know we take you at whatever size.
I'm just saying, like, your metabolism is working overtime, yo.
I can get, like, I would shock you. If I was just saying, like forget about it, like let's just go.
Let's just go Popeyes like, right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can do it. So I keep her at bay.
Mabel, you know what I mean?
Speaking of running and jogging and working out, what happened that day in Miami with the cops?
Oh, Bank Robber Man. That's the song that ended up on that record. Yeah. I was jogging in Miami and then in outside of my neighborhood just a little bit.
Right.
And a bank had been robbed at that time. And I was wearing like army fatigues and a t-shirt. And apparently the guy who robbed the bank was wearing army fatigues and a t-shirt. And I got guns to my face.
Florida.
4, 5, 6 cars. Guns pointed, pulled out. Me and my boy are jogging. It was like, froze. That wasn't the first. I've had guns in my head before.
Did you say, dude, I'm Lenny Kravitz?
No, I didn't say shit.
No, he's black man at that point.
And
I'm
like,
a man.
Right, and the guy who's running with me is like, he works with me and does security too. And he was like, kind of trying to like, he's like, look at him. Did you see who? Not that it matters. I could have robbed a bank, right? But then they were doing the thing where, so they had like 5, 6 cars, guns drawn. We're sitting there against the car. They're waiting to drive the woman who's like 80 from the bank to look and tell if it's me. And all I'm seeing is like the Hurricane movie and this one. And I was just like, oh, God. Like, and she drove by. I saw her drive by slow. She's looking out the window. And they let me, and then they find out who I was, and then it was a whole.
I'm so sorry.
That thing, yeah. Wow.
That's what you get for going to Florida.
Oh, this is definitely going to be a $50 million lawsuit. Like, let me just be quiet.
I just didn't want to get shot.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about none of that stuff.
Florida.
Wow.
That's Florida.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You did the thing for the Chris Rock show, right?
Yes, that's right. I did.
Can I get a copy of that?
Sure.
What's the thing?
I'm dead ass serious.
The theme.
That Grandmaster Flash one. I totally forgot. Fuck, man. All right. So, what questions are we going to text each other that we forgot to ask? We did Vanessa Paradis. We did designs.
We got Creed.
We did the acting.
Oh, I got one. In the 80s, what were the alternative black people listening to? I've always wondered that. Like, aside from like Fishbone and Bad Brains, like what other black musicians
that
were? That was just kind of it?
Fishbone, Bad Brains, of course, Bob Marley. But everybody was listening to Bob Marley.
But were you listening to them?
Trouble Funk.
Okay.
Wow. Trouble Funk?
Yeah, I used to go to them shows, man.
Like a go-go?
What?
What?
Used to go to the Palladium.
Wow.
Grace Jones.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, did you name my five albums yet?
No, you didn't. He's got to one. I had that written down first.
Well, you asked me during the time I was making Let Love Rule, but...
Yeah.
What are your five albums?
Of life? That's hard, man. Okay.
All right.
Inner Visions.
Yes. You're going to... Wait, time out.
You said talk.
You're going to have to name... Everyone get your... Because we're going to close on this.
Oh, okay.
Did you ask all your...
Yeah, I think I got all my...
Ragging Your Brain? Joints, yeah. Anything? No one? Okay. Let Love Rule time. Okay. What were your five albums?
Inner Visions.
Okay.
Talking Book. Axis Bold is Love. That's three. Wow. What else was I listening to at that time? Oh, Bob Marley, Catch a Fire.
Okay.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
Okay, now it's a sub question.
Yeah.
What did you get hip to after you were Lenny Kravitz? As in, like, late in the game. Like, I didn't grow up on the Beatles. My dad had it, but I was like, oh, whatever.
Right.
But then after a billion Paul's Boutique samples, then I was like, hey, wait a minute. And then I got into the Beatles. But who's the one artist that we'd be shocked that you got into after the age of 21, 22?
That's a good question. Well... The one thing that I mentioned, the John Lennon solo material.
Okay.
Knew nothing about it.
Okay, cool.
Knew nothing about it, yeah.
All right, last thing.
Yeah.
Your entire Bahamas. Oh. Bahamas or Bermuda?
Bahamas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Entire state in the Bahamas is on fire.
Okay.
What five things are you saving? All human beings are already out.
Yeah. So. My 1958 gold top Les Paul that's been on every record since Are You Gonna Go My Way?
Okay.
It's my number one studio guitar.
Still to this day.
Yep. Still there.
Okay.
What else is going? Let's see. I don't have a lot there. It's mostly gear. So everything in my house, Well, I got a Paul Evans console that's in my house.
Can you carry that?
Wait. Okay. Another bucket list question.
That's got to, I want that.
The Beatles, timeout. The Beatles board on the beach, was that some real shit or just some made up shit?
No, it was there for years.
Wait, what's the story? So,
I heard a story that you found an old Beatles board.
No, I owned the Beatles. I owned the Abbey Road equipment, the four track. The two-track and the tape machine.
Okay,
I mean, and the
board. Everybody and your mom is like, we got to get him now. Make him stop asking questions. I swear it's the last question. Okay.
Yeah, I own the Beatles since Are You Gonna Go My Way.
Wow. Still use that board?
I just sold it.
Motherfucker! Why? It's a Beatles board.
You know?
Why?
It was just, I wasn't using it so much anymore. I have other Beatle inputs. And I was like, you know what? It's sitting here, and somebody offered me a lot of bread for it.
There you go. Okay, that makes sense.
You know, sometimes you got to just move things around.
All right, so you go Les Paul.
Yeah. The Paul Evans console out of my house.
Right.
I have a collection of gold records in my studio that are from famous artists. These are pop culture artifacts.
Right.
So I've got Hendrix. I've got Hendrix only made 4 albums. I have 2 of his gold records.
Wow.
I have From Axis Bold as Love and Are You Experienced. I have Sly's records. I have Beatle records. I have Ike and Tina records. I have Chain of Fools, Aretha. I've got The Who. I have a whole collection.
Like, these are all the ones that are awarded to those artists?
To those people, but they don't have them anymore. And they got, so that's 4 things. And then the 5th thing would be I have the working lyrics to Sgt. Pepper's When Paul Wrote It.
Wow.
Didn't see that coming.
Mike motherfucking drop, right?
Yeah.
And on behalf
it's the Holy Grail of
Boss Bill, we're good. Unpaid good Bill, night. Sugar Steve, Fontigolo, and it's like, yeah. Lenny, thank this
man, thank you for having me. This
thank
is,
you,
this
Lenny.
Interview was everything I had dreamed of in my life.
Yes. Thank you, Carly.
This is my top 5 right here.
Yes.
3.
All this is going to, they're going to hear all this.
A 2-part. Yeah,
I love it.
It's going to be a 2-part.
I love it.
I mean, you know, Jimmy Jam gave us an extra 4 hours.
He did.
did he?
We did 6 hours.
Oh, God, his is 7.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's still asking me for, like, you know.
I tell you what, we'll come back in a few months when I get back from Europe, and we'll do 3 and 4.
I got to hear tour stories.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
We'll finish the rest of the album, and we'll hear what's going on.
And, yeah, we're still waiting for the Black Album.
The Black Album.
Negrophilia. Negrophilia.
I love
that title.
It's on Negrophilia time right now. Anyway. This is Questlove.
New album in
Questlove Supreme.
Oh, wait.
New
album. When is the album? Raised Vibration.
When is the album?
Vibration.
When is it out?
Yes.
September.
Just September.
September.
The entire month of September. It's going
to be out in September, man.
All right. Thank you very much.
Raise your
appreciate it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. This is Questlove.
Questlove Supreme was a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora.